A varied definition of what love is. In Greek, noticing the many intricacies and nuances of love, the Greek decided to break down and define love. Now, I'm only going to share with you four. They have more, but I'm going to share with you four. The first kind of love was eros, romantic, passionate love. The second kind of love was philia. This is that affectionate love that you have between friends, comrades, people that you work with, people that you are friends with. The third love was storge, and I might be pronouncing it wrong, so forgive me if you're Greek. This is that unconditional familial love that parents have for their children. That's storge. And the fourth love, and this one you've heard of in the church, I'm sure. The fourth love, and perhaps the most radical kind of love, was agape. It's that selfless love that you extend to people, whether they're family or strangers. Agape was later translated into Latin as caritas, and that is the origin for the word charity, right? Where you give undeservedly, but you give freely. And agape love is the love that Jesus has for all of mankind. It's sacrificial, it's radical, it's for those even that forsook him, even those who put him on that cross. That's agape love. And frankly, the Greeks believed that very few people were able to experience it long term. For the parents out there, we love our kids, but how many times, you know, they just test the patience and the limits of our love, right? And we, the imperfect beings that I am, I might not be able to love perfectly. But the good news as we come together here today, that our Lord loves us with an agape, unconditional love that we cannot earn, that even when we disappoint him and do things our way, even when we sin, he still loves us and calls us to himself. And that is the love, my friends, that we celebrate today. And that's the love that we are called to share with others. And today we're going to explore that love that Jesus commands us to have. You know, all the laws and the prophets, there were about some 400 verses of do's and don'ts. When you open up the Bible, if you look at the Old Testament, you will see a long litany, page after page, right, of these laws. But here's what Jesus does. He simplifies things and he puts it into a language we can understand that sometimes we mess up. Love God. Put him first. Love him with all that you are and love each other the way you love yourself. So let's pray as we try to understand Jesus' definition of love, not our definition. Because here's the challenge for us, my friends. We are imperfect and we have distorted the true agape love that Jesus has shown to us. So let's pray as we ask God to reform our hearts and our spirits to love the way that Jesus has loved us. Let us pray. Holy God, we come here in your presence. We feel the love, the music, the prayers, the time together is one where we just worship and praise you. And as we do that, Holy God, we feel your Holy Spirit, which moves us and which helps us to experience your love. So come, Holy Spirit. Come into each heart. Help us to understand your amazing and awesome love for each one of us. And help us to go out and share this love. Amen. Amen. So as I shared earlier, we all have our various definitions of love. But if we're truly to follow Jesus, you know, we are to be disciples of Jesus. And the command that Jesus has given to us is to go and make disciples. But how do we make disciples if we ourselves aren't following Jesus, right? So if we ourselves don't know the path that we're supposed to go, how do we give directions to someone else to follow that path? Because we can't. We can't give what we don't have. So my friends, the love that Jesus gives to us, first we need to receive it. And that's why the first commandment is love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, all that you are. Because not you, because I'm in this with you, we have to open ourselves up to to the Holy Spirit who fills us with His love. That's the only way that we can live the agape love, the love that wants the best for others, even those, and you've had people who have meant to harm you, right? Who haven't always been on your side, who have always had that in this world. As we sung that song that we had this morning, it was written by Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And what it reminds us is that there is a battle, and there is one who seeks to devour your spirit, to keep you discouraged, to keep you feel that you are not loved, that you're not worthy, and that who keeps you, who wants to keep us separated from God's love. That's the reality. But the good news, and again, we have to hold on to this good news, because that instead of that voice, instead of that, if we turn to the voice of Christ, we turn to the scriptures, if we turn to God in prayer, the words will come back to you of God's love for each one of us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will fill you so that you can experience this amazing love for ourselves. It's not a love that I can talk about and you'll get it. Too often, that's what this world tells us. Explain it to me and I'll get it. Seeing is believing, right? That's the human way of doing things. In fact, we go to school to learn. We get educated to learn all these things. But here's the thing about what Jesus tells us. Faith is key. Trusting in Jesus, who has shown us God's love for us, that's the key. It's not about explaining all this to you perfectly. It's about each one of us opening our hearts, our minds, our souls to love God, because He's already loved you. He's already loved us. He's already done the work. Now, the ball's in our court, so to speak, whether we want to open ourselves to what He's doing, what He's saying, open ourselves to the Spirit. You know, I talked about the different definitions of love, and I think as humans, I look out, I know most of you, and I do believe that you're trying hard to follow Jesus, that you have the best intentions to love your family, right? To love one another. I do believe that. And we try hard, but here's the problem that we need to understand, that we need to be able to look at. Our love is not enough. It's imperfect. And we need to be able to recognize and own that. Because if we don't, then we're going to keep going in that imperfect mode, and there'll be broken relationships. There'll be problems and challenges because our love is imperfect. Because our love always wants something in return. That's the difference between agape love and our love. Agape love wants the best. It's sacrificial. Even while Jesus is on the cross, He is forgiving those. Father, forgive those, for they do not know what they're doing. Those who are putting Him in that cross, Jesus is offering forgiveness. How many of us, we have a hard time forgiving those who slight us, even intentionally, unintentionally. Forget about intentionally. Yet Jesus was intentionally hung on that cross, yet He forgave those who put Him there. My friends, we need to first acknowledge and accept that our love is imperfect. Let's look at the four loves. Eros. How many times have relationships have failed because people fell out of love? You know what the common thing I hear is divorce because of irreconcilable differences. Right? Because there's no more love there. People fell out of love with the person because who they thought they married weren't the same person anymore. Philia. How many times have relationships ended because friends disappointed one another? Or grew apart? Or maybe said something or hurt us in a way that, you know what, we just don't want to forgive or can't forgive. But here's the thing. Even with that love, it's not about saying, sometimes what the enemy does, and remember what I said, the enemy is always trying, there's a battle for your souls. So the lies that he'll speak into you are, well, they should have known better. And that this forgiveness means it's okay that they did what they did. That's not what agape love is. It doesn't say what you did was okay. It says, I forgive you because I want the best for you. It does not condone the behavior. So don't let the enemy tie you down into unforgiveness, because the enemy will want you to stay in that angry state because it does more harm to your spirit. It's like that prisoner. When you forgive, you're the prisoner that's set free. They might not even care, and they might still be in the place where they are, but that's between them and God. You and I are called to forgive. Storge. This is the love that parents have for their children. I'm glad my kid is not here, because he'll nod his head. There have been many times I've been the imperfect parent. I've tried my best, and he knows that. And, you know, now that he's getting older, 18, you know, we are able to have more honest conversations where, even when he was little, though, if I made a mistake, I try to own up to it, saying, look, I didn't do right, but we'll do better. But that's not the right way to do things, right? Friends, you and I have the ability to teach our kids with our actions, not just our words. We need to be very careful that we don't just talk about love and say that, recite all these things about love, the scriptures, and then fail to show it in our actions. Because our kids are going to look more at what we do than what we say. And it's very important that we look at the action of Christ, His love, which is the epitome. Sometimes we don't have good days. Sometimes we have bad days, and in those days, it's hard to be the perfect follower of Christ that we long to be. But the good news is, God is not like us. Christ is different. Christ loves us with an agape, perfect love, and He keeps calling to us over and over again to be more like Jesus. To be more reflective of the one who made us, so that we can have peace and hope and joy and freedom from all these things that the world throws at us. You know, the unforgiveness that binds us, anger binds us, jealousy binds us. All those things are not from God. What God wants us to have is joy, peace, love, hope. You know, all those candles we light during Advent, those are not just words, my friends. That is what we find in Jesus. Agape love is better than any love that we can find in this world. But it's contrary to this world's thinking. So first, my friends, we have to acknowledge that our definition is all skewed. We have to understand that our definition of love often expects things in return. But the beauty of agape love is when it is given unconditionally, it is associated, agape love, with boosted mental and physical health. It also is, studies show that it also gives a somewhat of a helper's high. So here's the thing. The way God has designed things, when you give sacrificially, unconditionally, without wanting anything in return, you receive more than you could ever have thought in return. And it's not tangible. You can't buy it in any store, but it will fill your spirits so that whatever this world empties in you, and doesn't the world empty you every week? It empties me. Because that's the work of the enemy, who tries to keep us away from the one who can fill us. And if you heard the words of our song this morning, right? The one word is Jesus. He is the only one who can save us, who's won the battle for our souls. It's Jesus. He's done the work. Now it's our turn to choose Him. And that's a choice that each one of us has to make. But thank God for who God is. For He doesn't leave us alone. He continues to call us. He continues to speak to us through the scriptures. And you know that invitation you have to come to church or come to Bible study or to do this and that? Listen, God doesn't stop. And I'm not God. But sometimes God works through me. So sometimes God works through all of us. Actually, we are supposed to be channels, each single, every one of us, so that we can invite others into sharing this awesome love of God. You know, that street fair that we're going to go to next week, it's not just a place to be seen. It's a place where we can show others with our actions and invite them to experience God for themselves. Once we acknowledge that our love is imperfect, and once we turn to God, my friends, that's when true change can happen. Because first we have to acknowledge what we're doing wrong, and then repent, right? And repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry I ate the cookie, God, and then go ahead and get the next cookie. It's saying it and meaning it with our actions so that we ask God to help us not to reach for that cookie again. And you know what I mean by cookie, right? The things that call to us, you know, the desires that, well, yeah, don't go to church today. Sleep in. Do this instead, right? Don't give money. You can use that money to buy that new car you wanted. Or you know, go out. You deserve a little fun. My friends, that is the work of the enemy to keep us away from experiencing and living the agape love that Jesus has shown to us. Today, we celebrate Reformation Sunday. In the 6th century, 1517 to be exact, there was a practice that was going on. It was called selling indulgences. Remember what I said, our love is skewed? It's all messed up? Well, guess what? Even the church gets it wrong. Even we get it wrong. So the indulgences were when one made a financial gift to help with the building of St. Peter's Basilica, and then the church would give them a promise, promising that they or their loved one would be freed from a portion of the misery expected in the afterlife. Like they're really in charge. Like we're really in charge. We're not. Only one is in charge. That's the God of all creation. And in Jesus, he's done the work. And the way to God is through Jesus, not through any ritual. Although rituals help us. There's a place for sacraments. There's a place for rituals. But ultimately, it's all about Jesus. Amen. So what happened is that this give and take barter kind of love, you know what? That's not going to work. God speaks through God's people when things like this happen. And so Martin Luther, God spoke through Martin Luther in 1517, not Martin Luther King Jr., another Martin Luther. He spoke through him and he nailed. So November 1st, that's the day. That was an important day for selling and buying of these indulgences. You know why? Because it was known as All Saints Day on the calendar. So that was, you know, people's mind. I want to get to heaven. You know, when you think about passing away and all those who've gone before us, oh yeah, you know, I want to give money so that I can get to heaven. So they tied it into all that All Saints Day. And the day before, a German monk named Martin Luther posted a list of 95 theses, and I'm not going to read them to you today, but if you want them, look them up. 95 reasons that he objected to the selling of indulgences. Selling of love, because that is a skewed definition. And so, there was a reformation that happened. Hearts were changed. People understood. Not everyone, though. Those who chose, who were open to it, they allowed themselves to be reformed, and then they experienced the true love of God. So the church, we distort the concept of love to turn it into a barter exchange, money or promise of forgiveness. But today, my friends, if we acknowledge that we're imperfect, that we've got it wrong, today I pray that each one of us can come to God and ask God to show us what true agape love is. Not only show us what it is in Christ, but help us to demonstrate it and live it in our lives, with our families, with ourselves, and with the community. So consider where you have not loved perfectly. Consider where God needs to come into your life, where Jesus needs to cover you with his Holy Spirit. Because he promised us, Jesus promised us, he's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to let us do this work alone, because we can't. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit who can help us. So my friends, as we move into a time of prayer, I pray that if you're led, you would come and open your heart to God. You can do it from your chairs and your pews as well. But you can also come to the rail
and kneel before God. Because all that God wants is true repentance. True change comes from us saying, God, I've been doing it wrong. I'm not loving others the way you have loved me. Help me. That's really all it is. Seeking God to help each one of us so that there's a change, a reformation, a transformation from who we were to who God created us to be. Reformation. Ephesians 4:24, we read, we need to put on the new self, for we are created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You, I, we are created in the image of God, my friends. It's been distorted, but the good news is God can reform us into His image. So if you're feeling empty, if you're feeling disappointed, discouraged, all the things that the enemy wants to just keep you surrounded by, come to God, come to Christ, for He can give you His Spirit, new life, new opportunity, all this through Christ who has done the work for us. May we truly be reformed in our hearts and our spirits and remade in the image of our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so we pray. Let us pray together for our church.